We're going to start our worship this morning with a song that we've had a great deal of fun getting together, and it's our theme this morning, which I'll touch on a bit later, is prayer. So what more appropriate way of starting our service than to be singing a spiritual standing in the need of prayer. And the guys are going to sing it through once, and then we would invite you to stand and join in it, and we will sing it twice through. So the guys will now sing it once for you, and then please stand and we will sing it twice through. Seated, please. Good morning and welcome. This morning our service is being led by members of the Why Not team. And if you're visiting today, we extend a very warm welcome and invite you to join us for refreshments in the foyer after the service. As I've said, the theme of our service this morning is prayer. We hope to encourage folk to bring a freshness into their daily prayer life, reinforcing the notion that it is personal, no one model fits all, and that prayer can be adapted to suit any lifestyle. There are many types of prayer. You can see some of them on the screen behind me. Perhaps for me is look down about number four and I see there are positive and negative prayers. There's listening prayers. There's meditation. There are many types of prayer. And whilst we are in prayer, we can be standing, we can be sitting, we can be bowing, face down. The one I like, we can be walking. I'm very glad we don't often kneel here. I'm not sure I could get back up. We have prayer times that are set times each day. They're in worship, they're in growth groups, they are spontaneous, anytime, anywhere. This morning, our overall definition of prayer is, it is coming into the presence of God, a loving, forgiving, accepting presence, which leads to communication and conversation with God. We are each at different stages of our Christian lives. So whether you are new or a seasoned prayer warrior, our hope is that you will be encouraged to look afresh at your prayer life. This morning, we'll be using prayers from the Bible, some famous prayers, meditational prayers, and members will share their experiences. We do recognize, however, that we cannot cover and give full justice to this amazing, wonderful, challenging, and at times downright frustrating topic in the next hour and a half. So at specific times during this coming year, we will introduce additional prayer topics for you to pray over and add into the journal you have received this morning as you came in. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you will be with us this morning in this service. Help us to look afresh at prayer and its place in our lives. We pray that everything we say and do will honor and glorify your name. We thank you for those who are participating this morning. We ask that during this service, you will lead us into a quiet space where we can, in reflective and prayerful mode, be with you. We ask all of this in your name. Amen. Now, we're going to deviate very slightly. Kim. Oh, sorry. James. You slayed. I covered up the order of service, sorry.
Come on. Just before I make a comment on the song, for those that are newer to the congregation, some of those photos you saw people kneeling on the floor writing. Before, whilst this building was being constructed, we were allowed in before the floor coverings were down, and what you saw there were people writing prayers on the floor. So under the under your feet, there are prayers. Under where I'm standing is that major scripture text. There's another one there. All through the building, in the kitchen, the foyer, people wrote prayers on the floor. So that's what it's about. The other photos were our mission partnerships in different places around the world. So that's what you saw there. In terms of listening to music, and John asked me if I'd comment on music and prayer. I don't know about you, but I find music becomes like a sticky note on my forehead. Particularly a phrase will become like a sticky note. So I use music a lot like that. And I'll take a phrase out of it. My mind takes the phrase out of it, like from that song, lead us to the place, guide us with your grace. And that becomes the sticky note on the forehead. And then all through the day, I'll find my mind singing that line. And I find that takes me to a place, a spiritually connected place. So I frequently use music like that, worship music in the car, in the office, earbuds in, and the iPod. Music does that for me, and maybe that'd be a good resource for you as well to get some worship music and just let it take you to a place.
So I have a couple of Bible readings, one from Mark's Gospel and two verses from Luke's Gospel, which will help us to understand how determined and focused Jesus was to find time and space to pray. And yes, as we'll see, when the crowds grew and the pace of his ministry got really hot, Jesus responds by making time to slow down and to spend time with his Heavenly Father. As we'll see, sometimes he got up early and went to a quiet place, and sometimes he prays throughout the evening. If you have Bibles on your phones or other Bibles, my first reading is from Mark chapter 1, verse 32-39. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick and demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door, and Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons, but he would not let the demons speak, because they knew who he was. Very early the next morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, "Everyone is looking for you." But Jesus replied, "Let us go somewhere else, to the nearby villages, so I can preach there also. That is why I have come." So he traveled throughout Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons. And then from Luke's Gospel, chapter 5, verse 16, we read that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. And a bit further on in Luke chapter 6, verse 12, when Jesus is deciding who's going to be his 12 disciples, we read that Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the whole night praying to God. This is the word of the God. And we have... Let's pray. It's a good idea to do. So would you join me in praying? Heavenly Father, there are times when we allow the busyness of our daily lives to squeeze you out and take us apart from you. We ask in these next few moments of silence that you would declutter our hearts and minds, allowing us to focus on you and to come into your presence more fully. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you and be refreshed by your grace and enduring love whenever. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
For folk, prayer is a different experience. For some, it is an opportunity to go into a quiet space. For some, it's being part of a group. Some, it's raising their hands. And there are different types of prayer. And over the next few moments, we've got different members who will be sharing with us their experiences. So I'd like to invite Jen up to the stage now. You can tell that these chairs are built for high churchmen, can't you? Jen, this morning we're sharing about prayer in our service. Now, over 40 years ago, when I was about your age, if we wanted to share something, we had to go and sit beside somebody, we had to write a letter, or we had to wait for the opportunity to come together. Today, it's a lot more spontaneous, and it's just the press of a button, a click, and it's instantaneous. Now, tell us about some of the tools that you have today.
Well, nowadays, there's a thing called the internet. And so, obviously, through that, you have all our social media stuff, so Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, apparently that's a thing that happens in work businesses. And obviously there's text messages on your phone. There are lots of different apps that allow you to share with different people who have the same app or through Facebook, and it's all just like interconnected. It's pretty cool. And obviously there's email.
I'm glad you mentioned email because in this church we reach over 90% of the congregation by using e-link. It's an opportunity to share prayer, to ask for prayer, and to give prayer responses. So e-link, email is an important thing. Now, tell us, what sort of electronic gear is available to us?
Gadgets. the best thing. Also very expensive. So obviously there are phones. iPhones obviously are the preferred choice, everyone hearing. Preferred choice. Android does not exist. You have obviously laptops, desktop computers, and, you know, iPads, just anything really that can connect to the Wi-Fi is pretty useful.
Which one of these do you like to use?
This thing in my hand.
I don't think a girl and her phone are easily separated. Now, I personally like to use on my tablet YouVersion of the Bible because I can go into it, I can highlight verses, I can share them, I can write comments about them. Now, do you have any method that you like to use?
Well, because the topic's prayer, I quite like to make, well, I have on my phone a reminder which like flashes up at 8 p.m. every night that has all my prayer points that I've written out for the day, and it just like shows them up and it reminds me, A, I have to pray, and B, what my prayer points were, and, you know, remind me that, oh yeah, I was especially wanting to pray for that. And obviously Bible apps, they're really useful to like look stuff up if I don't know where something is in the Bible. But I'm a bit of a Bible snob, I don't know. I like to use the hard copy. I bought a new one just recently and it's really pretty. It's leather and it's purple.
I guess that's fine. Whatever is comfortable for you to use, whether you're into electronics like these young folks or like us who like to have a hard copy in front. But look, tell us, what happens when you get a message or you get something that really resonates with your faith? How do you handle it? What do you do with it?
What do I do with it? Well, Amy's pretty cool. She sent me something. So, like, this is, like, a really cool picture, obviously, of God's creation. And, you know, if I wanted to share it with someone else, I'd obviously save the picture. Because, obviously, you want it on your phone as well. So, save the picture. And then when you save the picture, you have access to it. So then I would want to send it on via message is usually the easiest way. Send it through the message and, well, just send it to a few of my friends. So I have a friend named Lisa. She's pretty cool. And I also have a friend named Rach. She's also pretty cool. And so, you know, if I type in their name and search for that, then, like, I can click on their contact, send it to them, and automatically they would receive it. It'd be pretty cool.
So, as an old fogey here, you actually receive it, you put the name in, you type it from your contacts, and then you hit send.
Yeah.
Just to hit
send. Just said hit send, that button, that green button. It's a pretty cool button. Obviously, you know, if I feel like it, I'll write a message. Sometimes I don't. Sometimes it's just like, wow, look at this picture. I'm very good at typing, as you can tell.
And just hit send.
And just hit send, and then off it goes. Yeah, it's that simple. Oh, it can be a blue button if you use iPhone, so that's why you're so much cooler.
This is the moment we wait just for a few seconds.
Yeah, you got to wait for it to load and then send off. Sometimes the internet can be a bit slow. I heard someone's phone go off. Apparently Doug's phone went off too.
We do tell people to turn their phones off when they come in. What's going on? But look, I think you can see it's quite easy when you get something of this nature. As Anne's holding up on the phone, the message has come through. I think my dear wife's got it somewhere. Doug's got it, and
I'm working on it.
And Pam's working on it.
No, I didn't get the
right old car. That was your problem.
Look, I tell you what, best laid plans. I think you can see, get a sense that this is quite a valuable tool for people to use, to be able to share quickly. As Jen has said, something has come in, it's resonated, and it's able to be passed out quickly via this means. Thank you for sharing this sort of thing.
That's okay.
And Hopefully we'll have a lot more people doing it, but not in Reverend Ian's message next Sunday, please. Thanks, Jeff.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Inside your little journals, some of you picked up as you came into the building an old-fashioned thing called a book. This involves paper, involves writing, etc. So please pick that up. Have a look inside the front cover. While we're looking at that, I'll get Dale Crossman to come and join me up here, because this is one of Dale Crossman's favourite prayers. So inside the front cover, you've got Why Not Prayer Service and the famous prayer, the prayer for generosity. Okay, this is a famous prayer by St Ignatius of Loyola. You can see the text there. It's written a long time ago, a few hundred years ago. If parts of that prayer don't quite click with you, feel free to rewrite it and customise it so that it does fit you and you can really enjoy it. And there are many prayers around the place. We'll talk in a moment about how you can track down prayers by other very famous Christians. Okay, Dale, I've got a couple of questions for you. One is, there are websites with famous prayers by people like Mother Teresa, President Abraham Lincoln, Dietrich Bonhoeffer, but you went back five centuries to find this one. Can you tell us who exactly was St Ignatius of Loyola?
I guess he was a... I guess what I've learnt even just this week, I've been able to actually research. I didn't actually know that answer myself. So using some of those amazing tips, I was able to get on and find out that he was born in Spain, and he was son of one of 13, so I can imagine 12 other siblings. I couldn't have imagined that. But he went off and was quite strong and quite a strong leader in the army there. And as it was, I guess, with a lot of army people, did suffer an injury which pulled him out. And during that time, obvious injury, he really had a good time to reflect, stop, think about what he was doing. And that's where he really discovered God and discovered prayer, and sort of had then really devoted his life to prayer. And devoted his life, and then kicked off the Jesuit order. So
I think he did his training to be a priest at the age 43, so it's well after quite a long life, until the end of his life, in terms of people's lifespan in those days, he was at the end of his life when he trained to be a priest, then he had time to start the Jesuit order. So a busy boy. Okay. And this prayer has been a favourite of yours for some time. Can you tell us how this prayer found you?
Yeah, it's interesting. I grew up in Scouting, an amazing organisation, and one of prayers that Lord Baden Powell actually brought into Scouting specifically is the Rover prayer. The Rover being the most senior group of Scouting from 18 to 26. Lord Baden Powell brought this in to really sort of build rovering about, or build rovering around. And really sort of focus on that. So it was introduced to me probably about 20 years ago, and it just constantly sort of comes back. Just, you know, some really good words, just a nice simple one, to remember day to day. So that's sort of really where it came in.
So, and obviously, some people call it the prayer of generosity because it involves so much giving in its concept there. Mm. Okay. So when do you use this prayer? What sort of situation prompts you to think, I need to use this one?
I think it's really day to day. It's when you get the invite to the working bees or a kinder working bee, and you're thinking, oh, I've really got something else to do that Saturday morning. But I think sort of come back and think, no, I really do want to give. The kinders, for example, do a great job. The church does a great job. Looking at some of the screens, what we've seen today, just about what the church here giving a difference. That's the sort of things that day to day, I think, is really where it sort of comes back.
So you made use of the internet to get the exact text for the prayer, which you obviously knew, but you wanted to double check on the text, and you also found some other famous ones. So what sort of websites, and how do you go finding these things on the internet?
Yeah. I think with everything on the internet, Google's your friend, and really just starting there and just sort of starting out, keying in the phrase that we sort of want to. So, for example, here it was famous prayer, or where I started for this one was Rover Prayer, and then that took me towards... towards finding out the background of where it was.
Thank you very much. So the text of this, obviously, you've got in your journal. If you want to go exploring, there's a whole website galore. Websites galore, in fact, with more famous prayers around the place. And you can use those prayers as they are. You can customise them and adapt them until they fit your theology and your needs, etc. But do feel free to explore the whole wonderful world of prayers by famous Christians. Thank you.
Good, thank you.
That's good. I think everyone knows Heather. If they don't, this is Heather Gassett.
Heather is married to
Carl.
Carl, who's sitting up the back there. And you have two beautiful daughters.
Yep, so I've got Della, who's five, out in NRAC Kids, and Anna up the back in the little pram.
Right, yep. And you're a busy mum?
Yes.
As all mums are. And I wanted to ask you a couple of questions about
micro prayer, because I reckon that you're probably so busy doing things that you have to try and snap little bits of time during your busy days for prayer and to communicate with God.
Yes, that's right. So often, like when we're doing things like driving in the car to doing the school drop-offs and pick-ups, using that opportunity to say some little prayers. Things like when I'm out watering the garden is the time often find open to sort of praying to God. And, just doing different sort of chores and that around the house or, going for a bit of a walk or things like that. Right. The times I try and grab snippets of prayer.
Yeah, it's good quality time. little snippets of time, but really good quality of time.
Yes.
And that helps you through your days?
Yes.
And through your weeks?
Yep.
And some would be more difficult than others?
That's right.
I would imagine. So
yes.
As we all have those sorts of weeks?
Yes.
Yep. And do you, with your times of micro prep, do you have little notes written down or do you send little text messages or anything like that, or are you more in here and in here? Or
yeah, probably a bit more in here and in here rather than writing things down.
Right.
And yeah, and probably more, so like if I'm sort of speaking to people on the phone or things like that, I'm a bit old-fashioned with the use of the telephone and that, sort of still like to sort of speak to people and talk about prayer requests.
Yeah, so it's all about communication, the whole prayer thing, isn't it?
Yes.
Communicating with our God.
Yes.
So, yeah. Okay. Well, thank you very much for answering a few questions and having a different perspective on prayer.
Thank you.
Could I invite Glenys to the... One of the prayers that we spoke about briefly was meditation. What is meditation for you, Glenys?
Well, I'm very, very visual, and so I thought I'd put together some pictures to help talk a little bit about my journey, but maybe that might also help you. I don't know if you remember this image. It's a very, very famous one where Jesus says, "I stand at your door and knock. If you open your door, I will come in." And we often get mixed up, I think, and think about that only as being when someone becomes a Christian. It's their first encounter with Jesus. But that actually symbolises what meditation's about. It's actually Jesus already being there, standing, and there's a guarantee of an invitation. I just have to actually open the door and be available. So if we look at what does meditating mean, in Oxford it actually says to exercise the mind in contemplation. So there's a bit of activity there. And the Latin word meditare means frequent. So we actually have to do it not just once or twice a month, but we have to do it regularly. So it's a very, very personal invitation. But I think it's a partnership. It's a dance, and a lot of people have spoke and written about this dance with God is what meditation and prayer is about. But it needs practice. And you need to be, for me, I've got to make myself available so God can do God's work in me. I don't want to have great lists of agenda. I just want to be there and let God do God's work in me. I've been doing this for a while, and to speak about what Dale was talking about, the centre that... the Campion Centre, which is where I go, Spirituality Centre, is a Jesuit centre. So I can tell you lots more about that place. Now, it's very personal. Meditating, this might be what you like to do. This is actually called the Praying Mantis Pose in yoga. Did you want to try that, John? No.
No.
No. Whatever we do as our way of being open and connected is what we've got to find. Everybody's got a personal journey. Now, this is a chair that I try and sit in every morning, and sometimes the bottom's in and out really quickly, sometimes it's longer. But I take a cup of tea and I physically sit in that chair, something in my brain and heart switches and there's a connection with God. It's actually my father's prayer chair, and he died when I was 18 and I've still got this chair. So it's really special. I'm very, very visual. So I have a little table next to me and I constantly change whatever's there on the table, a little bit about whatever my particular prayer area is at any particular time. I think one of the most important things for me is about actually having to feel safe, and that meditating and prayer isn't a hard thing. Be very, very gentle on ourselves. That's what God wants us to do. So in our really safe place, we have to declutter. We've got to declutter our mind. We've got to declutter our space. We actually have to make time. And I have to get out of my everyday thinking patterns. And that's hard to do, especially when we've got routines in our day. But how do we get out of our everyday head and heart and thinking patterns? And it's a discipline that really we have an intentional connection with God. So I usually start with a book, and I use a book called The Sacred Space, which is the Jesuit prayer, and it has the daily reading and two little comments about it. And I might use that. I love using photos. I have a few pictures that I have in a book, the photos that I've taken, and they were taken to mean something to me. And when I look at that picture, I remember what was that picture all about and what was God saying to me. I also like to sometimes reflect on other materials that people have written, other stories, other books, sometimes replay some of the sermons because I find something jumps out then. But sometimes I try and just empty my mind, because there's a very, very famous, and again it comes from the Ignatius Way, it says, do not speak unless you can add to the silence. Wow. Do not think unless you can add to the silence. And that's been a very profound thing. And sometimes when I'm in a very busy day and a really, really busy work meeting and there's a lot of hot air going around, sometimes I just say that to myself over and over, and it's a really quiet, meditating way of staying connected to God. So it doesn't need to be sitting in your chair by yourself. So I'm very visual and I like to have lots of things. And the other thing is, talking about being electronic, I actually have an Android. And I Google pictures, and I often look at a picture, and it's amazing if I think about something and I go in and Google, I get a lovely image from God. It's like a gift. I think the other thing is that always, regardless of how much time I put into the process of connecting with God, God always speaks to me personally. It's like God's got the time. God's saying, I'm here, Glenn. Where are you? Please come and join me. And in that personal connection, again, I find visually it really helpful. So I've got a lot of pictures that are very profound for me, and this is the sense of God just totally loving and accepting me in all my warts and all. I love looking at nature, and I love to sort of be reminded of how good God is and alive God is in creation. So we talked about a meditation walk. You actually don't have to do a meditation walk and walk. I'm going to do one in a minute to show you. But your meditation walk might be sitting, and you might just tap your arm, leg to give yourself a bit of rhythm. You might be in the car. You might be just got a 5-minute snatch sometime. So what's it involve? Well, I'm just picked up this one. Come to me and I will rest you. It helps to focus and empty my mind, and I walk and breathe in rhythm with words. So I take 4 breaths in and 4 breaths out. So I go 1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. So most of the ones that I do have got 4 syllables. I'll show you in a minute. It's a bit of a fun thing to do. And what I do is I start and then I let God lead me and adjust my speed. And if my thought wanders off somewhere else and I'm trying to stay focused on come to me and I will rest you, I'll grab that thought and I'll understand that it's important to me and God thinks it's important to me, and I honour that thought and then I give it to God. I become then more aware of his promptings and I am surprised. So what I thought I might do is just show you, I'll come down here so I don't fall off the stairs. So I'm just going to do, come to me and I will rest you and you can see how I go. Come to me and I will rest you. Come to me and I will rest you. Yes, you did turn off that iron. Come to me and I will rest you. If you don't, you get a headache. Come to me and I will rest you. Come to me and I will rest you. Jesus loves me, this I know. And on and on. So lots of helpful resources. And look, I put this together and I think John's going to have this available. But the one thing is, the greatest resource is God is. God is there. God is waiting. The Holy Spirit will guide and encourage. God desires our willingness and our availability. We have our Bible. We have our books in library. We have lots of the little helpful booklets and various materials that you can get through the library. But we have our friends and we have our family. And I have a spiritual director, which I touch base with once a month. And there's a real richness and accountability in sharing our prayer journey with somebody else. These are the retreat centres that I've been involved with. They run courses, they run quiet days, they run retreats. You can go and visit and have a look around and see what's involved. My most significant time every year is I have a three-day silent retreat and I go with no agendas and I meet up with the spiritual director for half an hour each day and the rest of the time I'm in silence. And it's taken me a long time to discipline it, but it's an incredibly rich thing and it's in my diary, it's in my calendar for the year and it's a very rich experience. In my job, I'm needing to give out a lot emotionally during the day and I need to be putting some deposits in my bank account. I use God's creation. Your own photos are brilliant because you took that photo because it was a story happening. Go back and look at the photos. Old journals, things you've written in the past, Google images. I have 12 o'clock, 12 at noon bips at me on my phone. Throughout the world, people at 12 o'clock every day pray. And it's a thing called prayer at noon. And if you want to look on it, you can have a look. But prayer at noon means that you get a prompt to your mobile phone and it just helps you to remember your God journey, your prayer journey. Now, sometimes it bips and I go, oh, I can't connect with that now, and I can't. But then later on, I look at my mobile phone at 3 p.m. or even 8 o'clock at night. It's still there because I haven't dismissed it, hasn't gone. And then I can use that moment to thank God for the day and the journey that's been. So Jesus said, I stand at your door and knock. If you open your door, if I open my door, Jesus says, I will come in and take us way beyond ourselves.
I'm very glad that you mentioned about accountability. It's one of the things that we find in our High Quest, the guys that meet regularly on a Monday, that we are accountable to the other fellows there, that the prayers that we do, the actions that we take, we know that three other guys, in my case, are praying with me, praying for me. And that is a very important thing. Now, it's time for you, good folk, to try a prayer of meditation. Can I get you to open up your prayer journals, please? The ones that you received when you came in. There is a prayer there from Philippians 4:13, and it says, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. What I'd like to do is I'm going to read those lines through and I would like you to say in the first verse, I, in the second verse, can, and so on as we go through. So where the words are in bold, please come in and say that word together. Let's go. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I can do everything through him who gives me strength. We're now going to have our second Bible reading. Jacob.
This is a reading from Psalm 51, verses 1 to 12 from the New International Version. This is regarded as a Psalm of David. The prophet Nathan came to King David and condemned him for his adultery with Bathsheba, for the murder of Bathsheba's husband. David is humiliated and in total disgrace. His greatest fear is that God will walk away and abandon him. He prays that God will accept his prayer of apology. Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love, according to your great compassion. Blot out my evil deeds, wash away my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my evil actions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, only you, I have sinned, and done what is evil in your sight. So you are right in your verdict, and justified when you judge. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me. Yet you desired faithfulness even in the womb. You taught me wisdom in that secret place. Cleanse me with hyssop, and I will be clean. Wash me, and I will be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones you have crushed rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquity. Create me in a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence, or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore me to the joy of your salvation, and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. This is the word of the Lord.
Our last reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55, from the NIV, and we're reading Mary's song. And this famous song can also be used as a prayer. At this point, Mary is pregnant with the Christ child, and she comes into God's presence with humility, aware that God dislikes the proud and powerful and loves the faithful, meek people who serve him. So we'll start at verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me, holy in his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their throne, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, just as he promised our ancestors." This is the word of the Lord.
We have come to the end of the service, and we have one more thing that we would like to offer to you as a blessing, as an encouragement. And we hope that from this morning, with all that you have heard, you have seen, that you can look afresh at your prayer life. I know I've been encouraged by a number of the things. I'm very glad that Glenys didn't ask me to do that yoga pose. I just couldn't do that. But we will be sharing those notes via e-link that Glenys prepared, because there's a lot of really tremendous information there. So we ask you to just be still and just let the words of what we're about to show you soak in, and let it be the start for a new prayer beginning. Thank you.